And welcome back to our bird section of Juno Afternoon. We're going to head into that as well as the tourists all want to take a picture of Juno's bald eagles. They always get the attention, but Brenda Wright, who's the program manager for the Juno Audubon Society, is here to tell us today a little bit about one of the unsung eagles of our skies, the golden eagle. Brenda, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks, Andy. Good to see you again.
Good to see you. And I've seen a golden eagle back in Sheep Creek kind of valley one time that I identified. Every time I see a immature bald eagle, of course, I go, that's a golden eagle, but that's wrong.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about the population of golden eagles in Juneau.
Well, you know, they're very scarce in Juneau. They're what's called rare bird alert. They hang around for a little while. Like one time you could go over to Costco and see this eagle swirling around Thunder Ridge there. You know, it was really cool. But this one was seen up high, too, very high up on the ridge. They don't usually spend much time with us. They kind of prefer big, open places where they can get their small mammals to eat.
Right. They're little, like just little
ground
voles.
Ground squirrels and rabbits.
Okay, right. Yeah. Now, what's their size comparison to the eagles, the bald eagles we see?
They're about the same, actually, but just a tiny bit bigger.
Uh-huh.
And the one thing nice, if you happen to see a juvenile, they do have some white wing parts on their underwing. So that's not something that we often see on our juveniles, although they can be any kind of mottled colors, you know, anywhere on their body when they're juveniles. But that the juvenile golden eagle always has those two white spots.
Oh, okay. What are the hot spots for seeing them in Juneau?
Actually, for Juneau, it's almost always up on the ridge.
On the ridge. Okay.
Yeah. But if you really wanted to see them, you would go up into the tundra. Anywhere near a cliff or a place where there might still be a tree, that's where they'll be. That's where they really love those big cliffs. They build their nests on cliffs.
So they're on bluffs. They can oversee stuff. And, I guess taking off and that kind of thing from the updrafts and those sorts of things.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
And unlike some birds, these are very smart birds. They leave in the wintertime.
They do. Then where do they overwinter?
A lot of them go down as far as Texas, but some just stop in North Dakota or so. Yeah, the overwintering population is about like North Dakota down. There are many, many breeding birds that come up to Canada and Alaska.
When I saw one, tell me if I'm wrong about how I determined it a little bit just from its shape. It seems more shouldery. A little bit. Its head is a little bit more compact to its body,
yep.
And its wings seemed a little bit like kind of wider and not quite as long as a bald eagle. Is that right?
Yeah, a little bit broader.
Yeah,
because they're not very golden. They have a nice sheen sometimes, but it's tan more than gold.
But tan eagle just does not cut it for a name.
No.
It's a golden eagle. And, so overwintering in kind of down all the way, do they find warm?
Yeah.
They want really warm space.
Well, no, not really, because, you know, North Dakota is not warm.
Oh, North Dakota, yeah.
But they want to have a place where there's lots of animals that they can actually get during the winter. So.
Right. Well, that makes sense. Like you said, they're smart. So, yeah, they go where it is. Okay, well. Other activities, other stuff happening right now.
Yes.
Before we get off Golden Eagle, I did have a Golden Eagle call here. So is this a way that people would identify?
Yeah.
Kind of like when you hear someone saw a Golden Eagle or identified a Golden Eagle, is it because they saw it or is it because they hear it?
Most of the time because they saw it.
Okay, flying.
But when they're territorial, they'll be calling a lot.
Okay, so this is the call of a golden eagle. So if you hear this, this is a little bit different than the bald eagle Brenda previewed for me. So here we go. It is very different. It's got a certain quality, but... Yeah, that is cool.
Yeah, the bald eagle doc actually has a little bit of a karumph at the end, you know.
Right.
And this one's just like, I'm here.
And the bald eagle always, to me, just always sounds like its voice is cracking, sort of, you know. Like it's not quite, it's just, you know, going through adolescence or something.
Yep.
But, I wanted to ask you specifically about something happening at my feeder. So my bird feeder in my front yard, I live downtown here. In the flats, and it was incredibly active. super active about a month ago, and then it just went to nothing.
Yes.
I couldn't get a bird at my bird feeder.
Did you happen to notice if elderberries are about ready to eat them?
Maybe.
Because the mountain ash are getting mighty close.
Oh, okay. But I was going to say, just this week, just in the last like 3 days, chickadees are back at my feeder.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So what's happening?
Well, that you know, they're taking advantage of you again. The best, the easiest wild stuff is all scraped off the plates, and now they're back coming where they can always know to get something good.
Okay, so maybe some of the salmon berries and things like that have depleted a little bit at this point.
Right, right.
Yeah,
and they do like all kinds of different foods, the chickadees. So hopefully they're going to eat some of our budworms.
Oh, yeah,
them,
yeah, okay.
Hope so.
Okay, chickadees go after worms and stuff too.
Not groundworms.
Oh.
Bugs.
Okay.
Bugs and seeds.
I see.
Seeds. Seeds are the main thing. So I wouldn't be too surprised if they weren't going for some of we had so many things flower early this year and go to seed, so I'm sure that they were really, really busy on those plants.
Okay. And then along with the chickadees, nuthatches sometimes travel with them, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Once in a while.
I like those nuthatches. They are neat little birds.
Yeah, they are very much so.
Yeah.
It's harder to get them to come to a feeder. They have different taste.
They do, and I've noticed that. But they're very mobile on the feeder, too. Mm-hmm. They turn upside down and all kinds of stuff. They're very cool.
Yeah.
Well, the other one thing I wanted to ask you about is what's going on with hummingbirds, because I had crazy hummingbird activity in my yard until last week, and it's completely over now.
Well, you know what? It's kind of on average. That's the way it usually is. There might be a couple juveniles still around, but once the flowers in the alpine gets great, they go up to the alpine and go south on the alpine.
Oh, so they go up and out.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, isn't that interesting? I never quite knew that they went up to the flowering alpine flower.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, and that, you know, it's a brief but very vibrant time up there. So there's lots of stuff to eat. And the males often go pretty quickly. You know, they don't hang around to help mom.
Uh-huh. I see.
So they skedaddle first, and then everybody else slides down later.
I gotcha. So they get out of town.
Mm-hmm.
And then, okay, so
this is a perfect thing, because I was going to talk to you about the migration dashboard.
Okay.
It's a free thing you can look up on eBird, E-B-I-R-D, and .org, and look for migration dashboard. And you can see how things are traveling past you. And I know a lot of places where there's big cities or something, they're looking at the radar or something. But people will be reporting birds as they travel south, and you can see it in real time. It's really kind of interesting and fun to check it out.
When you say looking at the radar.
Yes, because when the birds are in fast motion across North America, they can see it on radar.
It'll actually show up on radar.
On radar.
For airplanes.
If there's a million birds passing by, it makes more than a speck.
Yeah. Big cloud of birds go by. And that can be lots of different types of birds,
yes.
Not just the ones that we think of as the flocking birds.
Right, right. And it's really fun because, you know, some of our species might not show up on that. But there we have some similar species in Canada. So you could watch them go south and know that ours are traveling about the same speed south.
Wow, that's cool. So eBird.org. Is it e-bird or just eBird?
eBird.
eBird.org.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look
migration dashboard.
Dashboard. Okay. And then can you look by species or can you look by?
Base, species, and place.
I see. Oh, very cool. So you could see where are those rufous hummingbirds right now?
Right now, yeah.
Yeah.
See where they're going.
And that's for things like the rufous hummingbirds, that's from individual observations. So someone like yourself reports, I saw a rufous hummingbird.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah, but the others, especially once they get down to Washington and BC where there's more folks, and going by an airport helps. You can get more reports of the bigger flocks going, like, you know, a lot of our geese go south.
Oh, yeah.
They don't all stay here.
Sure,
hundreds and millions.
yeah, and other water birds and ducks and things like that as well.
Which is the other thing I wanted to bring up, because I saw the most fun thing just yesterday. It was so nice on the water. I took my little skiff out for a little ride, and over by Aran Island, I saw 100 pigeon guillemots. I have never seen that many in one place ever before.
So describe a pigeon guillemot.
Okay, it's a very small water bird, twice as big as a robin, half the size of a mallard. It's all black, has these beautiful white wings patches so you can see it. And if it happens to jump up in front of you, bright red feet that runs across the waters that's taken off. But normally, you know, see 2 or 6, but 100. That's like, are they all going to Aran Island just to hang out and go south together? What's happening? It was so interesting. Oh. I just was fascinated by it. They didn't actually fly away from us either because I was trying not to catch fish.
Yeah. Were you successful?
No, I actually caught a sculpin.
Oh, well. Okay. And so I wonder what maybe, I mean, we had such unusual weather this week. I wonder whether it was either wind that kind of rafted them up in an area or they were in the lee of an area or something.
I've known for years and years that they do nest there, but just like maybe 10, 15 pairs, you know. But to see that many, it was just unusual.
Wow. Anything else that
But the whales were on that side of shelter, too. So maybe the creel or maybe something else that's very attractive for them. The creel brings other small fish. Maybe they all come to get chow down.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, something that, that
everybody does that before they
right,
leave.
Absolutely, right. You got to stock up before you leave, yeah. Any other fun observations you've made recently?
No, but I was hoping to mention this real quick, too, the Southeast Alaska Birding Trail. This is something that the State Audubon Office has made up. And you can go to the State Audubon Office webpage and look for this birding trail. And for each city in Southeast Alaska, it'll show you all these different fun places to go look at birds. So if you get a chance to travel around Southeast or if you have friends coming or something like that, you can tell them where the best places to look for birds in Wrangell or Petersburg or Haines.
Oh, that's great. Does it by time of year and all those kinds of things?
Yep, sure does. Yeah.
And then also lists out what type of birds you might see in different areas. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's really cool. So that's something that's done. Is that something that's done throughout the country?
No, this was a special project by Alaska Audubon, the state office for the whole state. And it was something that they'd worked on for years, so they took a lot of advice from all of us folks that live down here to get a really good way to look at birds. Because remember, all those independent travelers looking at birds are bringing lots of money to the state.
That's right. We heard so much about that, and that's something that continues. Is there a time of year that those independent travelers tend to come to the state?
You know, I'm not really sure because the ones I see. Often come in during our spring migration walks.
Right.
And Audubon has those, and they're so excited to have people come not only know the birds, but to take them to a place where they can see lots of them. But other people come any time of the year just to get a chance to see Alaska birds.
But that spring migration, that makes a lot of sense, obviously. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of opportunity to see a lot of different birds at that time, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so as people look and observe the world around them and birds in the coming couple of weeks, what you got any tips for things people should be watching for as we're heading into the autumn here?
Yeah, this time, you know, we're middle of August now, so we're going to be seeing a lot more migrants starting to pass through. I got to see some red-throated phalaropes yesterday too. And very small birds that swim really strangely. They swirl around to make things come up so they can grab it.
In sort of shallow water?
Yeah, mostly in shallow water. Yeah. But they were flying along with some oyster catchers, and they're white. The oyster catchers are black. Pretty easy to say, whoa, that's something different.
Yeah, right. Oyster catchers are so fun to see always with that red rim around their eyes.
Yeah.
Such a pretty bird. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So any other kind of notes on autumn birds coming through? Is it a lot of waterfowl, geese, things like that, or is that what's going to be starting to pass through?
It will be. And then an awful lot of our birds, almost all I think, molt before they leave Alaska. So they're busy growing new feathers. So as they finish that process, then they'll be passing through here. So it depends. Like the birds that are up in the above the Arctic Circle going to be here a little bit later than the ones coastal to Anchorage.
Yeah, right. Okay. Well, Brenda, thanks so much for all your knowledge on what people should be watching for birds in Southeast. And just one more time to recap two of the things you mentioned. One is the dashboard the migration dashboard, and that's at ebird.org.
Uh-huh. eBird.
And then the other one is the Southeast Alaska Birding Trail that's provided by the Audubon Alaska office.
Mm-hmm.
And that's at ak.audubon.org. And
yes.
you can find the Southeast Alaska Birding Trail. Both really good tips for people,
oh,
especially,
yeah.
I think, novices, people who feel a little bit like, I don't even know what I'm looking at or I don't know where to go. And you can experience the really the wonders of seeing these incredible wild creatures that pass through and that live here in
mm-hmm.
Juneau. Yeah.
Yes.
Brenda, thank you so much. That's Brenda Wright from the Juneau Audubon Society. Thanks for coming in, and we'll talk to you next week as
Thanks,
we explore birds around Juneau, Alaska.